Last October, Congress passed a $520 billion spending bill. It included $7 billion in emergency relief for farmers and $9 billion in last-minute additions for the military, including $1 billion for missile defense that the Pentagon didn't ask for. Anti-poverty forces watched with envy. Deborah Weinstein works for the Washington, D.C.-based Children's Defense Fund, a leading proponent of government help for poor families.
Those of us who work on these issues try desperately to be on top of what last-minute thing might be negative. There's not any little bonus presents that come as a surprise, usually, in the dark last hours of a budget session.
For decades, groups like the Children's Defense Fund have called for a stronger safety net while pointing at Western Europe. There, income supplements and universal health care and child care programs help keep the child poverty rate under 10%. In the U.S., 20% of children live in poor families. But these days, the notion of expanding the welfare state doesn't have many champions in Washington. Republican Bill Frenzel was a congressman from Minnesota throughout the 1970s and 80s. He's now a guest scholar at the Brookings Institution. He thinks most members of Congress, including the Republican majority, would support more federal help for the poor if they thought it would help.
On the other hand, I think most conservatives believe that we had a long period in our nation's history dating perhaps from Lyndon Johnson's first assault on poverty, in which we sprayed a lot of money around and didn't do a lot of good.
Critics blamed the main welfare program, AFDC, for encouraging teenage pregnancy and rewarding dependency. President Clinton signed the welfare reform bill that dismantled AFDC in 1996. But some observers think there's a lesson in the fact that some anti-poverty programs have survived more or less intact, namely those that provide food assistance to the poor. Jim Weil is executive director of the Food Research and Action Center, an anti-hunger group based in Washington.
The politics of food stamps and other nutrition programs are interesting because even in an era when programs for poor people have been under attack, food programs have shown a lot of resilience.
Some Republicans wanted to end food stamps as an entitlement in 1996, but influential members from farm states blocked the move. Farm groups support anti-hunger programs for reasons we'll get to in a moment. First, consider this. While advocates for the poor rely on statistics and moral persuasion, the farm industry has given $82 million to congressional campaigns since 1994.
We have, I think, 12 registered lobbyists on staff that handle just a variety of different issues, ranging from commodity price export.
Brian Little is chief lobbyist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He explains why groups like his have been key supporters of federal food assistance programs.
You know, for the same reason that rural electric co-ops for years and years have sold electric refrigerators and electric stoves. You know, you might think of it as building a market. But in a lot of ways, it sort of boiled down to trying to build a political coalition that can win.
Little refers to a long-standing marriage of convenience between urban and rural lawmakers. For decades, big city representatives voted for farm subsidies. In return, rural legislators supported anti-hunger programs the cities wanted. To some in Washington, the example proves that it's all about power politics, that poor families only get help when their interests coincide with other, more favored constituencies. Charles Lewis directs the Center for Public Integrity, a nonprofit group that investigates the impact of money on congressional behavior.
The simple truth in Washington today is that children do not vote, they do not lobby, they don't contribute to political campaigns, they don't pay for politicians' all-expense-paid trips. The only thing children are good for to politicians is as a photo op during an election.
Lewis says even with support from the farm lobby, Congress does not spend enough on food assistance to meet the need. And he's convinced that does not reflect the wishes of voters.
If you said to the average person in this country, do you want there to be 13 million children who are hungry or at risk of being hungry? Everyone would say, no, we don't want that. We're the United States of America. We don't do that in this country.
But there's evidence that the U.S. government's more limited anti-poverty efforts do reflect the values of ordinary Americans. Larry Aber heads the National Center for Children in Poverty at Columbia University. The center has done extensive surveys on public attitudes towards the poor.
one of the reasons Americans say they're concerned about kids, but seem less willing to act on behalf of kids, especially poor and vulnerable kids, is that they're not willing to do something to help the children if it means helping what they see as their shiftless and worthless parents.
Aber says a solid majority of Americans is inclined to help those in need, but that majority is divided. About half is willing to offer assistance with no strings attached. The other half wants to help only those who somehow earn the assistance.
And it's a more reciprocal relationship. You help them and they in turn help you. And the people who believe in this reciprocal benefit idea also believe that charity should begin close to home, with places you live in and people you can see.
Aber thinks the time may be right for advocates of a stronger safety net to repackage their appeal. That is, now that the old welfare system is being replaced by work requirements, and studies are showing a growing number of poor children have working parents. Former Republican Congressman Frenzel agrees.
I think the American public had a very heavy tilt against welfare as exemplified by the AFDC programs, and had the feeling that they were subsidizing generations of people who never could arise from the welfare system. I think if we were talking about helping children who were in need in working families, there would be a far greater appeal to the American public and ultimately to the public's representatives in Congress and in the White House.
Aber of Columbia says for any new assault on child poverty to succeed, it must not be simply a government initiative. Charity and business must be involved, too. He concedes a public relations campaign is needed first. When asked to name the biggest problem facing the country, only about 5% of Americans name poverty. For Minnesota Public Radio, this is John Bewin.